We're going to get into the scriptures tonight, and so I trust you brought your Bible. Get your Bibles out. Matthew, the 16th chapter, is where we're going to read. We started a teaching a couple of weeks ago on the gates of hell shall not prevail, and so we're going to continue in that realm in teaching, and so we're going to read from Matthew 16, and we're going to read verses 13 through 19, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 19 tonight. Hallelujah. How many know God's called us to be victorious? He's called his church to be victorious, and he's called us to be full of strength in Jesus' name. And so let's just read this, Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19. And it says, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And verse 18 says, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Everybody say that with me. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Against what? Against the church. Amen. And who is the church? That's you and I. It's the ecclesia, the called out ones. And so the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And then he says in verse 19, and I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. Now I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for this time together. And I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to understand, God, our purpose. God, help us to understand the power and the authority that you've given to us in the kingdom. And Lord, I pray, God, that you will empower us, Lord God, to just begin to move into a new dimension, a new level, Lord, in our relationship with you and walking in the authority that you have given us as sons of God. And so, God, I just bless your people right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus' ministry, when he was here in the flesh, man, it flowed with healings. How many know there was healings that were taking place? I mean, left and right. How many know miracles were happening? Amen. Every place that Jesus went. In fact, it was so prevalent that people were coming from all over because of the miraculous things that were taking place in the ministry of Jesus. I mean, there was miraculous miracles. There was the casting out of devils. I mean, there was healings that were taking place. Jesus was preaching this message of the kingdom, that the kingdom of God was at hand. And he went and he preached in every city that same message. I want to read this in Matthew 4. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, and teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all people that were sick, and that were taken with different types of diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and with those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy. And the Bible says, and he healed them. Amen. And so Jesus' ministry was a miraculous ministry. Amen. Now understand, God has provided for every one of you and I as a believer the opportunity to move in the miraculous. Amen. How many want to move in the miraculous? Come on, God's made that, he's made that possible for you and I to move in the miraculous. Now, we're just going to touch a couple of things tonight. And the first thing I want us to look at, we're going to go to Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verse 46. Mark's Gospel, the 6th chapter, verse 46. And we're going to talk about the importance of having just the right atmosphere. The right atmosphere. And You know, the right atmosphere is created, and you need to understand it's through you and I learning to consistently pray the prayer of faith. You know, as a company of believers, how many know all of us are to be praying? Come on, as a company of believers, all of us, we are to be praying a prayer of faith, amen? And we need to understand that during Jesus' ministry, we see that he created an atmosphere in which there was the miraculous and the supernatural. Why? Because of his times of prayer. And so, I don't know, I just want to stir us up tonight in regards to, okay, let's bring us, Lord, to a new level of praying. To where we seek your face, that we pray, that we call upon your name. God, that we have an expectancy for the supernatural to take place. How many could use a miracle? How many know somebody that could use a miracle? Come on, we know people that need miracles, amen, that need God's touch and that need a supernatural power to be released. And we need to understand that when you became a believer, a called out one, okay, the gates of hell are no longer to prevail against us. In other words, those powers of darkness to try to keep us bound, keep other people bound, keep people, you know what I'm talking about? Keep them from being able to experience the blessing and the fullness of the kingdom of God. We need to understand that now that we've become born again, we've been called out by God, we can experience the supernatural power of God in our own personal lives and see it happen in the lives of others. Amen. And I don't know about y'all, I expect that to take place every time I pray, every time I lift someone up in prayer. Amen. Now, I want to read this in Mark 6. We're going to read verses 46. We're going to read a couple of verses. And so, because I want this to get into your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Okay, stop right there. Jesus prayed. How many know Jesus prayed? Amen. It says, when he sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. It says, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the water, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a spirit, and they cried out. In other words, Jesus was just going to keep on going. Okay, to the other side, but the disciples saw him, and they began to cry out, all right? And so Jesus responded to their cry, amen? And the scripture says, he tells them, he says, for they all saw him, and they were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. And he went up unto the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they were in wondered. For they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began carrying about in beds those that were sick and where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into a village or a city or a country, they laid sick people in the street and besought him that he might touch them, even if the borders of his garment, and they were made whole. And so I want you to see the connection, first of all, tonight, that Jesus, he prayed. Now, how many know that if there was anyone that didn't, you thought that may not need to pray, it was Jesus. But Jesus prayed. Amen. And you find that throughout the scriptures, you find that as Jesus prayed, it created this atmosphere in which miracles took place. You know, we're living in an hour right now when, we need miracles to take place. We need the supernatural power of God to be released into this generation. There's people that you and I both know that need God's touch supernaturally, whether it be for their salvation, whether it be for healing in their body, whether it be for deliverance from some bondage that Satan has placed over their life. They need a supernatural touch from God. You know, and a lot of times we don't fully see that full deliverance or that full touch from God upon their lives. But we need to understand that we have to create an atmosphere in order for that to take place. And Jesus knew that he had to create an atmosphere for the power of God to be able to be released in his midst. I'm going to go to Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 12. It says, and came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So here we see Jesus again. He's spending all night in prayer to God. When was the last time we spent all night in prayer? You don't have to raise your hands. When we spent all night in prayer to God. Come on. Jesus, how many believe Jesus was busy? How many believe his time was very precious in the sense that there was people always coming to him, but Jesus knew in order for the miraculous to take place in his midst, he had to create an atmosphere around him so that the miracles of God could flow through him. And the thing that Jesus used to be able to create that was his consistent believing prayer life. And guys, we have to have a consistent believing prayer life. In other words, where we pray and we seek the face of God so that the Spirit and power of God can be present. Come on, guys, we need God's Spirit and his power to be present in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit, he wants to come upon you. He wants to empower us to be able to pray like Jesus prayed. Amen? So that there can be I don't know if you know this, but God wants there to be a flow of miracles. God's not holding back miracles. Come on. He's not holding back miracles. He wants there to be a flow of miracles from us. He wants there to be the supernatural power that he's released to you and I as believers, the called out ones. He's wanting there to be a release of the supernatural power of God throughout our lives. Why? So that people's lives can be changed. And so he's wanting there to be a flow of miracles. He's wanting to create an expectancy in us. He's wanting to create in us just that ability to be able to believe that God is more than able. Amen. So the Lord wants to cause there to be a release of great faith in us. But guys, we have to understand there's things that we have to do. Come on, how many know we're wrestling with stuff right now? There's stuff that's going on in our world. There's things that are taking place all around us. There's an evil that's been released upon the earth that's trying to keep God's people from being able to rise up to the place that God desires us to be. And God's made something available to us to where if we would just learn to pray and have a desire to pray like Jesus prayed. You know, the disciples, they ended up having a desire to pray like Jesus prayed. Because you know what they asked Jesus? Jesus, don't teach us how to preach. Don't even teach us how to do miracles. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. That was the one thing that they asked the Lord. Lord, teach us how to pray. Because they connected the dots that because of Jesus' prayer life, there was an atmosphere that surrounded him that produced the miraculous, Paul. And guys, I want for every one of you, the called out one, God's ecclesia, his church, you and I. Man, I'm wanting there to be an atmosphere that surrounds us, that the miraculous takes place. And so we have to understand, guys, it's important that we have a right atmosphere around us so that there can be a move of God. Amen? See, expectancy and great faith are created as we consistently release faith-filled prayers. Guys, we got to release faith-filled prayers. In other words, we need to pray. And we need to seek the Lord, and we need to call upon his name. But why? Because there's going to be an expectancy. There's going to be great faith that's going to be created as we consistently do that. Amen? And the gates of hell can't prevail against believers who've developed believing faith, consistent believing faith in their prayers. See, three things happen. I was just thinking about this, and three things happen. When you develop just consistent believing, a consistent believing prayer life. And I'm using the word believing because, listen, there you can pray and not believe. I'm going to say it again. You can pray and not believe. I've heard many people over the years pray, including myself, and not believe. And so we need to understand, you can pray and not believe that God's going to do anything. And so, guys, we have to develop, okay, consistent believing prayer. In other words, where Jesus, just like Jesus, I mean, when he prayed, he was praying prayers that were believing. And he was believing that there was going to be a supernatural move of God. Amen? And so three things happen when we develop that, a consistent believing prayer life. Number one, the spirit of unbelief is driven out. Come on, how many know unbelief, it tries to rob us of the miraculous? How many of you have ever prayed for something and questioned right after you prayed whether or not that was even going to happen? Come on. You know that is such a spirit of unbelief that comes to try to rob you, to steal from you the very thing that God's wanting to do on your behalf. And so what we have to do, we have to create an atmosphere that drives that spirit of unbelief out. Does that make sense? And the way that you do that is just like Jesus did. How many know Jesus had to deal with the same demons and devils that you and I deal with? Come on, he had to deal with those same demons and devils. I mean, they were constantly coming, trying to harass, trying to stop, trying to keep the power of God from being released to the people. And so what did Jesus do? He prayed. He would spend all night in prayer. Why? Because he was wanting to see a move of God. He was wanting to see the miraculous take place. And so what he did, he consistently developed a believing prayer life to where he sought the face of his Father. And one of the things that took place because of that, that the spirit of unbelief was driven out. Another thing that takes place, I don't know if you realize this, but there are opposing spirits that come to try to stand against you from being able to see God's power released. The promises of God come. The blessings take place. There are spirits that come to resist that. And so you need to understand, when you develop just consistent believing prayer, a life of consistent believing prayer to where you are praying, you are seeking God, you are trusting in the Lord, you are calling upon his name. Not only does it drive out the spirit of unbelief, but it begins to cause those opposing spirits to flee from you. Come on, we need some of those devils to flee from us. Some of them have been our buddies for a long time. Come on. You know, they've been, you know, sitting on a sofa with us, eating at our table. And we need to understand that they're supposed to flee from us. Amen? And then the third thing that happens when you develop a consistent believing prayer life is that, man, it creates great boldness in your life. It creates great boldness in your life. That you'll begin to do things before you even have the opportunity to think. To talk yourself out of doing it. You know what I'm saying? It creates great boldness in your life. Amen? Let me just say this. This is a revelation of God. God's wanting things to happen. I'm going to say that again. God is wanting things to happen. Well, Pastor, how come it's not happening? How come I'm not seeing it? How come it's not taking place? God's wanting things to happen. But sometimes what we don't even realize is taking place, that the atmosphere around us has become polluted. It's become polluted with unbelief. It's become polluted with opposing spirits that we've not resisted and commanded to flee. There's no boldness in our life to stand and having done all to stand and stand believing that God is going to do the very thing that he said he's going to do. So understand, God is wanting to do something. So it's important that we recognize that, man, we got to create an atmosphere for there to be a flow of miracles, because we need to make sure that the atmosphere is clear of unbelief and there's a full expectancy for God to move. Guys, when we come to church, guys, we have to come with an expectancy that God is going to move. You know, sometimes we've come to church and just come because, well, that's what we do. We come to church. But we need to come with an expectancy that God is going to move. Well, how do I get that expectancy, Pastor? We've got to pray. We've got to pray. Because when you pray and begin to seek His face, things change in your life. Things begin to change in your life. Amen? So understand it's important that we pray. I'm saying, Lord, teach me to pray. Another thing that's important for there to just be a flow of miracles is that God needs vessels of honor. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4 says this, that every one of us should know how to possess His vessel in sanctification and in honor. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 says this. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. And if any man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel of honor. In other words, there's things that we need to understand that keep us from being able to see all that God wants to do. Does that make sense? Paul refers to it as being a vessel of honor or being a vessel of dishonor. He says, if any man purge himself of these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared for every good work. So number one, in order to be a vessel of honor, we need to understand that what I was just mentioning is that you have to maintain an effective and consistent prayer life. We can't just pray when there's a problem. And we need to learn how to pray. To where we just allow God's Spirit to just begin to draw us into that place of intercession, that place of prayer, to where we have this desire, this passion for seeking the face and the heart of the Father. Why? Because we want to be a vessel of honor. Why? Because we're wanting to create an atmosphere for God to move. And you need to understand, God's wanting to move. Amen? He's wanting to move. He's wanting to move. Amen? And we say, well, Pastor, why don't He just move? He needs His church because He's given the church the keys. He needs you. He needs you. Don't think of yourself as insignificant. You need to understand He needs you. Amen? So we have to understand to create this atmosphere where God can move. I have to pray because that's going to drive out unbelief. That's going to cause opposing spirits to flee. It's going to create great boldness in you. Amen? But then we also have to understand we got to be vessels of honor for the Lord. So we have to maintain this effective and consistent prayer life. In other words, we can't, you know, I know, and I've been like this, and I'm sure maybe some of you have been like this, but, you know, a lot of times we can be hit and miss. Come on, how many know we can be hit and miss? Well, we could be on fire one day, and we could, like, have burned out and just crash and burn the next day. Come on, guys, we got to be really consistent here in this hour that we're in right now, and especially in our prayer life. Listen, there's going to be times when you don't feel like praying. There's times when I don't feel like praying. But you know what? I realize I need to pray. Why? Because I want to create an atmosphere around my life so that God can move. I want to be able to learn to hear His voice. So that if He speaks to me, I want to be able to obey. So I'm saying, Lord, help me to pray the way You want me to pray. Not just when it's convenient for me, or not just when I may have a need or when I hear their need of someone else. Lord, just teach me how to pray. Lord, I want to converse with you. I want to commune with you. God, I want to be in your presence, Lord. I want to be able to just come before you, oh God, so that you could teach me what you want to teach me. Why? Because we need to be a holy vessel, a vessel of honor, so that we can create an atmosphere for God to move. We got to live daily in a relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. In other words, man, we have to practice his presence every day to where we say, Lord, help me to recognize that, God, you are here. The psalmist said, where can I go? He said, if I go to the highest mountain, God, you're there. If I go even down to the bowels of hell, he says, you are there. God, there's no place that you do not, you do not dwell. And so, Lord, if that's the case, if you're with me when I'm in my car, if you're with me when I get up in the morning, if you are with me when I'm outside cutting my grass, if you are with me when I'm at work and I'm working at someone's home, if you're with me when I'm at the grocery, Lord, please help me to recognize your presence, Lord. That, God, you said you'd never leave us. You'd never forsake us. His presence isn't just with you when you come to church on a Sunday. His presence is with you every day. So, guys, we have to understand if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we have to live daily in a relationship with the Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Ghost. In other words, we have to practice recognizing his presence is with us. We have to practice hearing his voice. Why? Because we want to create an atmosphere to where God can move. Because you're the called out ones. The gates of hell aren't to prevail against you. In other words, you're to move in the miraculous, the supernatural power of God. Guys, we got to be filled with compassion. I don't know if you realize this, but our world right now is trying to cause us to become compassionless. It's trying to cause us, this generation, this world that we're a part of right now, it's trying to cause us to become void of loving others. And so we have to understand, we have to be filled with compassion for the needs of others. So what we have to do, we have to guard our hearts from becoming callous. Why? Because I want to be a vessel of honor. I got to make sure that I guard my heart from becoming uncaring when I see the needs of other people's lives. Because, guys, we are inundated every day with this philosophy and this spirit that's trying to harden our hearts. It's not just so that our hearts are hardened to one another, but so that our hearts become hardened to God. And so I said, God, I want to be a vessel of honor for you, Lord. And so what I have to understand and what we have to understand, we have to be filled with compassion so that we don't become callous and uncaring to this world that's around us. Why? Because we wanted to create an atmosphere for God to move. God, help me to love people that we may not want to normally love. Help us to care for people that, God, may not be like us. Or may be a little different. Or may be a little crude. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or a little coarse. You know, sometimes we gravitate to people who are kind of like us. But we need to understand that as Christ's ambassadors, we've been called to this generation to be lights in darkness. In other words, we're supposed to be those that are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, to where we can release heaven in the earth. And so God's needing vessels of honor right now. Is this okay tonight? I mean, I feel like I'm fussing. Am I fussing? I don't want to fuss. No, because I'm not fussing. I'm promising you that. Amen. Woo, glory to God. But we got to be filled with compassion. So, Lord, do not let me get to a place where I do not love someone. regardless of what they've done, regardless of who they are. God, help me to love them. Doesn't mean that I can that I have to condone their sin, but God, I want to be able to have compassion and love them. God, I don't want to become uncaring in regards to them, because Lord, they're lost just like I was lost. Amen. They need a miracle just like I needed a miracle. God, they need your touch just like I needed your touch. And so, God, if you want to touch them through me, if you want to touch them through you, then, God, we need to be vessels of honor before you. Lord, we have to maintain an effective, consistent prayer life so that we can drive out unbelief. So that, God, we can believe that there's nothing impossible for you. God, that we can cause those opposing spirits that come to try to challenge the truth that we know of God in our life, that those opposing spirits flee from us. Because God has deposited something in us, a faith and an expectancy, a love for him. God needs vessels of honor. We've got to be real Christians. Come on, we got to be real Christians. Not just in word, but we got to be real Christians. And understand, a real Christian, they live a life yielded to the Holy Ghost. And they allow the Holy Spirit to separate them from this world. Let me tell you, there's things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. Now, I'm not saying that I've been perfect since I've been a Christian, because there's been times when I've failed. And I've asked to ask the Lord to forgive me for my sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. But I said, Lord, help me, Lord. I want to be a vessel of honor. God, I want to be a real Christian. I just don't want to be someone that goes to church. Lord, I don't want to be religious. Lord, I want to be a real Christian. I mean, that's what God needs. He needs vessels of honor. In other words, those that are yielded to the Holy Ghost, allowing him to teach you, allowing him to lead you. In other words, separating you from the things that you may have once done and bringing you to a place in which God wants you to be. God needs vessels. We're talking about creating an atmosphere. This is, if I'm not yielded to the Holy Ghost and I'm doing my own thing, beating to my own drum, being a Christian only in word, where my heart is far from me. Jesus talked about that. He said, listen, man, your hearts, I'm not saying y'all, but he was talking to the religious people. He said, man, you're like whitewashed sepulchers. You mean you look good on the outside, but in the inside, man, you're full of dead man's bones. That's a heavy word he was given to him. And it was because Jesus had this passion to see his kingdom come into people's life. So guys, we have to be separated from this world. So that God can, we're creating an atmosphere. You understand? Listen, if I'm living like the world and the world is all in me, the world's all up in my head, you know what I'm saying? When I pray, there's not going to be a whole lot going to happen. Come on, there's not going to be a whole lot that's going to happen. I may experience something every now and then, but I'm telling you, you know what I'm saying, Bobby? I mean, I got to be the real deal. Say, Lord, help me to be the real deal. Help us all to be the real deal. Come on, what our world needs right now, it needs the real deal. It needs those that are real Christians, that are separated and yielded to the Holy Ghost, that are filled with compassion. In other words, they're not callous and uncaring. In other words, they're living in a relationship with the Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Ghost. They're practicing walking in the presence of God, recognizing that God is there. learning to listen, to hear the voice of the Spirit leading and directing him and maintaining this effective and consistent prayer life with the kingdom of God. Why? So that something can happen. Come on. God's wanting something to happen. And I'm telling you, if we put ourselves in that place of being a vessel of honor, I'm telling you, something's going to happen. Amen? Vessel of honor is those that obey what God says to do. Guys, we got to obey what God says to do. Now, I know there's times in all of our lives when we don't. I mean, there's been times in my life that I've not obeyed what God said to do. But we need to understand if we're going to be a vessel of honor, we got to obey what God says to do. Bible says a righteous man, though he fall, he gets back up and he says, you know what, God? I'm coming to you, God, and we're going to go for this again. And God, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for men and women who will just press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And even though there may be times when it gets hard, and even though there may be times when you may stumble, and even though there may be times when you fall, you get back up. Why? Because do you know that there is no other way than to serve him and to follow him and to give your hearts to him? So a vessel of honor is those that obey what God tells you to do. And then we got to be humble. A vessel of honor has got to be humble. It's got to be teachable. Amen? In other words, be willing to allow and desire for the Holy Ghost to teach you the things of God. Come on, there's stuff that God wants to show you. There's things that he wants to reveal to you. There's things that he wants to speak into your heart. He wants to fill your life. Amen? So, guys, I don't know. This is an hour, guys, when, man, we cannot take our eyes off of Jesus. Amen? God is a supernatural God. Amen? And he's wanting to do supernatural things in the midst of his church. Amen? And so understand that God's wanting his power to flow. Mark 10, verse 27 says this. And Jesus, looking upon them, said this. You know, with men, this is probably impossible. But then he said, but you know, with God, all things are possible. You see, that's where God's trying to get his church. To where we look at life and we look at what surrounds us and don't see it as an impossibility, but see it as something that God can do miraculously. Amen? He's needing a church that believes. Amen? He's needing a church that believes. Listen, there's always been resistance. We talked a little bit about this last week. There will always be opposition to the church moving in the supernatural power of God. The devil's always going to try to keep you and hold you back and hinder you and try to discourage you, okay? And that's why in the book of Jude, the first chapter, verse 3, it says that what we need to do is that, man, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, we need to fight for this thing. I don't know about y'all, man, I'm fighting for this thing. I'm saying, Lord, I want to see your glorious power in our midst in this hour. Amen? And so we have to fight for this thing. We have to fight to believe. Because there's opposition to you and I believing, Paul. We have to fight to believe. Amen? And we have to fight to believe what's been delivered to us. In other words, what God has deposited in our spirits and into our hearts. Come on, God hasn't changed. How many know God hasn't changed? I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, Jesus is a miracle God. He does miracles. He set the press, and when he was here and he walked this earth, man, he showed us what was to take place. Every city he went to, every country he walked into, miracles took place. The supernatural power of God was released. And so understand, miracles are part of God's plan. I'm going to say that again. Miracles are a part of God's plan. Amen? It's part of the provision that he's made available for you and I for our lives. Miracles. that what may seem impossible for man isn't impossible for God. Why? Because that's part of the provision he's made for you and I. The miraculous. But let me tell you, there's opposition to the miraculous. The atmosphere tries to become polluted around us. Tries to fill us with unbelief. There's opposing spirits that come and challenge that what we've heard is really going to take place. That what God said, is he really going to do? That's where we have to be consistent in our believing when we pray. That our prayer life has to be consistent. And we say, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach and understand, prayer isn't just requesting things from God. In fact, when you study out prayer, a great part of prayer is our worship to God. And so we have to understand that when Jesus went and he spent all night in prayer, he was in communion with God. He was conversing with his Heavenly Father. And his Heavenly Father was conversing with him. I'm sure he worshiped and blessed the Lord. I'm sure he bowed in reverence to his Heavenly Father. And there was this communing that took place. Guys, we have to get back to that communing with God. Because I'm telling you, I believe the church as a whole, we don't really commune with God like we need to. And because we live in a generation that's polluted, I'm going to use that word, polluted. I'm talking about the atmosphere, polluted. I'm not talking about exhaust from cars. I'm talking about demonic spirits, unbelief, an antichrist spirit. We live in a generation that is polluted. And if we don't stand as sons of righteousness and sons of God, and we just kind of wade through the pollution, I'm telling you, it affects our life as a believer. It causes you and I to actually withdraw from our faith. And our ability to be able to believe for God to do something. That's why, as a whole, the church, there's not a big expectation for God to do something. I'm talking about the church as a whole. The church as a whole is just hoping to get through it. We just hope that we can get through it. God never said that we're just supposed to get through it. He said the gates of hell are not even supposed to prevail against you. Amen. He says, I've given to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatsoever you loose shall be loosed. Whatever you bind shall be bound. And so we have to understand, God's given us power. Amen. See, don't allow the devil to cause you to think that miracles are out of reach. Because I'm telling you, they're not. We just got to create an atmosphere. Amen? Through consistent believing prayer, we got to develop a consistent believing prayer life. And then we just going to need to make sure we're vessels of honor. Amen? We just need to walk with the Lord every day. Amen? Let me read this in Genesis 21. We're going to read verse 14. This is the account of Hagar and Ishmael. The story of Ishmael was that Hagar gave birth to Ishmael from Abraham, and then Sarah, she ended up having a child. And because of her child, she wanted Hagar, who was a handmaiden, to get out of the house. Take the kid with you. That was the essence of that. Because that's not how this is going to play out. Come on, is that right, Brother Phil? That's what happened. And so Abraham rose up early, it says in verse 14, in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast her child under the shrub. And she went and sat down over against a good way off, probably about a bow shot, the Bible says. For she said, I don't want to see the child die. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And the Bible says, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad which where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and behold him, and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with the water and gave the child drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. So here we need to understand the reason why it's so important for you and I to understand the importance of creating an atmosphere around us. Number one, through our prayer life. In other words, consistently believing that what God has promised, God's going to do. Amen. To where we develop a relationship with the Lord. Amen. We don't just pray when it's convenient. We don't just pray when there's a problem, but we've learned to just commune with God. Amen. To fellowship with him in prayer. Amen. Jesus fellowshiped with the Father all night in prayer. I mean, we see that constantly over and over. And what it did, it created an atmosphere. Unbelief was driven out. Jesus was able to believe for the supernatural. Amen. Even though he was God, he denied all his deity. He was man just like you and I. And so unbelief tried to come against him, but he was able to drive that out. Why? He created an atmosphere through his prayer life. Opposing spirits fled. They were afraid of Jesus. They are afraid of you. But Hagar, her miracle of provision was just beyond her reach. In other words, it was just right out of her sight. But what happened was that God opened her eyes. And see, when we present ourselves as vessels of honor to the Lord, and we press in saying, God, man, I'm desiring for you to move. In other words, he opens your eyes to be able to see his provision. He opens your eyes so that you can see the miraculous take place. When she was ready to give up, she was ready to quit, she was ready to throw in the towel. Amen? And so we have to open our ears, we have to open our eyes, in other words, our spirit man, to hear and to see what God is saying. That's why it's so important to be a vessel of honor, because it enables that to happen. That's why it's so important to develop a consistent believing prayer life. Why? Because that enables the atmosphere to be cleared so that you can be able to see and to hear what God is doing, what God is saying. So understand tonight, church, that, man, God is wanting more than ever. Because he showed us through the life of Jesus that there was miracles that accompanied him every day. And when Jesus was taken up into heaven and the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, miracles accompanied them every day. They moved in the same miraculous power. Jesus said, the same things that I'm doing, you're going to do also with even greater things. And so we have to understand that this hour that we're in right now, this is an hour of miracles. This is an hour of the supernatural power of God being released. We can't limit God. Amen. We need to present ourselves to him and allow him to begin to move in us, to draw us deeper, to draw us closer, to change our thinking, to change our thoughts. In other words, to empower us to be able to believe that there is nothing impossible.